You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com, bringing you the freshest radio in Brooklyn since 2009. Hear directly from chefs to farmers, artists to architects, authors to brewers, and everyone in between. Check out all of our shows on our website or by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. Whole Foods Market is a proud sponsor of Heritage Radio Network and the Department of Transportation's Summer Streets, a three-day series of events dedicated to healthy, active living on the car-free streets of New York City. Join us at the Whole Foods Market City Picnic Area on 24th Street and Park Avenue the first three Saturdays in August. Find more information at the DOT's website, keyword Summer Streets.
Boys, I'm mellow as a honeydew. Yeah,
that cat is high. Look that look in his eye. Oh man, he's high. Yes, higher than a kite. That cat is high.
Welcome back to the Speakeasy. We just got back from a long week in New Orleans at Tales of the Cocktail, and we are joined by an award-winning bartender since last time we saw him, or had him in the studio. We're joined by Stephen Schneider from Employees Only in New York City. Welcome back to the show, man.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you.
So let's get right into it, man. Let's talk about the awards that you won. Let's first of all, let's let our listeners know who all won. American Bartender of the Year was actually split between Kenta from Pegu Club and Sam Ross of Milk and Honey. Best American Brand Ambassador was Jacques from Partita. American Cocktail Bar was actually, you guys were nominated for that. Went to Drink in Boston.
Congratulations to them.
Absolutely. Best Bar Mentor went to Andre Saunders, but Deshaun from Employees Only was actually nominated for that as well. High Volume went to Rick House in San Francisco. Cocktail Writing Non-Book went to Imbibe Magazine. Mm-hmm. Best Cocktail Writer went to Camper English. International Brand Ambassador went to Dan Warner from Beefeater. The Simon Ford Uh-Oh Award went to John Lemaire, who also won Rematch. We'll get into that later. Tell us about the Simon Ford Uh-Oh Award.
More or less, if I remember correctly, a lot of these stories from Tales, they're very detailed at the beginning, mm-hmm. and then towards the end, I think the whole punchline is, then we all got drunk and forgot.
Yeah.
Basically, anytime he gets a call from these people, he's in a city or they're in town, and they call him, he gets a call from these people, and he says, uh-oh, it's going to be a long night.
Yeah,
totally. So congratulations to him for that. He got a big flask for the effort.
Nice. It's
a giant flask filled with Jameson, I believe.
Nice. Another one that you were nominated for was Best Book of the Year.
Yes, Jane Duchon were nominated for mm-hmm. Best Book. And
it went to Punch from David Wondrich.
Which, yeah, it's hard to beat David Wondrich in a writing competition.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's great, and he's been a mentor to a lot of us as well.
Absolutely. Best New Product went to Banks Five Island Rum. Best Restaurant Bar went to 11 Madison Park.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. World's Best New Bar, Cocktail Bar went to Eau de Vie in Sydney. Best Hotel Bar went to the Savoy in London. That's no surprise.
of course.
Best
That place oozes history.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Best Menu went to Artisan Bar in London. And then back over here, Best International Bartender went to Eric Lawrence from... where is he bartending?
I don't know. I've got to make it to London for sure. Yeah, I've met a lot of great people from London this absolutely. Past week, so I got to make it out there.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys were actually, Deshaun was actually also up for that. You guys were up
yes,
for
he was.
Five, six awards.
It was six, yes.
Yeah. But let's get down to the meat of it. you guys won Best Drink Selection.
Yes, we did.
Which I'm still not sure what that means.
More or less, from my understanding, it's how much diversity, what kind of stuff you have behind a bar, and if you actually use it and how you use it and stuff like that. Yeah. Where you could come in and say, make me something with Albanian brandy when we've got it, And yep. Phil Duff, he gave us the award. He called us the global headquarters of bad decisions before he presented us with that award, and I thought that was the best line ever.
Nice.
We're gonna put that somewhere. We're gonna frame that quote somewhere. So thank you, Philip Duff, for that.
And then you won best cocktail bar in the world.
Wow. Yeah.
Which
we did.
Amazing.
We did. We were thrilled. We couldn't believe it. You know, it's just such an honor to be nominated that many times, and to be nominated and then recognized by your peers, by people in the industry. It's really humbling, and it's really a shocker, and we're still kind of shocked about it. But you know what? I mean, we are confident in our abilities, and we have such a solid team, and I'm just a mere piece of the puzzle. You know, like, it starts from the ownership,
yeah.
from Jay and Dushan and Igor and Henry and Billy, and then it just trickles on down. You know, these guys, they bartended together for years and years over at Pravda. So they already had a camaraderie. Then it just trickles down from Robert to Milos to Bratza to Dev to me to Vincent. You know, we have our little, we fall in line.
Yeah.
And I'm one of the bartenders there, and I love the guys I work with, and it was just such a great honor to be there and to be nominated and then win amongst these great places all around the world. And if anything, what this is going to do for us, it's going to make us better as a bar team and as a bar, just to try to maintain that level of service and professionalism and maintain that level of fun, which we like to have, and you know, learn more about each other and just keep bringing it every night. It's going to, if we needed motivation in any way,
yeah,
you know, this is something that
it's
make better.
A huge yeah. motivator. And when you keep saying we, I mean, you guys were rolling deep, man. You had you should have won the award for, like, deepest crew, you know. You guys are actually literally, like, sitting on top of each other at the awards
ceremony. Well, once again, a great bar starts with building a great team. You know, if you're the best bartender in the world, you know, you could make the best cocktails in the world and do whatever the best. If nobody likes working with you, you know, the bar's not going to be successful.
Absolutely.
So these are things you can't teach. And when we found out we were nominated, all of us jumped on board. And some of us, you know, I want to thank the guys, like, you know, Robert and Vincent and Urosh and Mitar and Alejandro, all the other guys.
Somebody's got to watch the show.
Yeah, that held it down. And I hear that they had an amazing time, because they got texts from Jay, and they got calls from Dev and everybody that we won, you know, World's Best Cocktail Bar. And Vincent Vitek gets on the bar and shouts, "Hey, you're all drinking at the best, World's Best Cocktail Bar," this and that. And Rob opens up a champagne, and they're pouring it out. And Jay calls EO. And he said, "Buy everybody in the bar a shot." This is Saturday night at midnight, mind you. He's like, "I don't care, buy everybody a shot." And then they're like, "Well, Dushan just called and said the same thing." And Jay's like, "Fuck it, buy him another one." So, yeah, I always say we, you know, like, we love each other. We love our home. So, you know, we're all in this one together. You know, we were going to win together or not win together. But to be honest, we were just honored to be there amongst the other great bars and bartenders around the world, and it was an honor just to be mentioned. So we were already playing with house money, you know, like, we were already winners in our book. We were there amongst, you know, some of the greats in the business. So, hey, you know, it can't get any better than that.
Yeah, this was a really great year for Tales of Cocktail. There were so many, like, great friendly faces.
Absolutely.
People were getting crazy.
It was my first time in New Orleans, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. I'm such a workaholic usually, but this past year I've gotten out a little bit. Our friends at Fourth Row Films were down there. Mm-hmm. Once again, you're familiar with them.
Yeah, they were rolling deep too.
Yes, they were. Fourth Row Films.
I kind of consider them part of your crew. Yeah, you know? Well, they are a crew.
I'm still a little young. Maybe in a few years I'll have a full entourage. But Fourth Row Films, they're a production company. They're making a documentary about cocktail culture, bartenders, and just bar stuff in general. I am one of their stars, I guess you could call them that. They've been following me around for about a year and a half now.
How did, like, I know we talked a little bit about this the last time you were on the show, but how did that all come about?
Well,
how did they find you? You find them?
Well, they were at Employees Only. They were doing just interviews with a bunch of bartenders.
They were at
the
World's Best Cocktail Bar.
Come on, no, please, please. It still gives me chills. I'm still wearing my wristband from that night too. I'm gonna wear it until it actually just falls off,
yeah, nice.
Withers away. But no, they were just going around to the, you know, different bars in the city and interviewing bartenders, just asking the same, I guess, questions or whatever. So they went to Employees Only, and this was a year and a half ago, and I've grown a lot in this past year and a half personally, mm-hmm. As a bartender, as a man, as everything. But they went over there, and I think it was a Thursday, and they asked if Igor would be interested, and Igor was like, no, here, just have Steve do it. So I still had my apprentice jacket at the time, and I warned him. I said, I'm very opinionated, I'm foul-mouthed, and I'm not afraid to speak my mind. Nice. So they're like, awesome, let's ask you a few questions. So I rattled off a lot of answers, and a lot of them now, when I think back about the answers that I gave them, because back then I wasn't very familiar with other bartenders from around the city or around the country and the world. I was mainly kind of sheltered. I knew only what I was taught. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't really get out there much. I didn't really travel much. So I was very, I guess, sheltered in my responses, but they were funny as hell. I wish I could remember some of the stuff, but
you'll probably find out.
Yeah, I know. I probably look differently, but anyway, so they've been following me a year and a half. That was the beginning. They just loved my answers. I was talking about all sorts of things, you know, money and sex and everything like that. All the good stuff that yeah. bartenders love to do. I don't know. Like, now I look back, you know, they were following me around a lot during Tales. And I mean, I've grown a lot, and they've actually seen me grow as, you know, becoming one of the one of the principal bartenders there at Employees Only. And then I'm over at Macau Trading Company now every Saturday. And just having such a great time, and they've witnessed me kind of grow. So they are part of my crew, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, man. So speaking of growing as a bartender, man, like, what were some of the things that you you learned at Tales of the Cocktail, either bartending wise or life wise?
Yes. Well, personally, I'm just speaking personally for me. This has been a huge year for me. I've been in places that I haven't been in my entire life. I've been getting out, you know, like in the winter I went to Chicago for the first time, and like I got a chance to see different restaurants and bars, and just blown away about how good these people are in this country and in this world. I went to Indonesia, Hong Kong, Macau. Never been there before, but I went there this year for the first time. Went down to Vegas for the first time, which, thank you, Tobin Ellis, for for showing me around Las Vegas. I owe you one. And then what else did I went to San Juan, and now New Orleans, first time. So,
damn, dude, you've been getting around, seriously.
Yeah, I've been getting around this past year. It's been such a wild ride for me, and I'm having such a great time with it. And I couldn't have this much fun if it weren't for my teammates and Employees Only, my comrades there, and my mentors. But so Tales of the Cocktail. It's great to see everybody, because I got a chance to, you know, all this traveling. I was in San Francisco guest bartending a few months ago, and I was able to see all the San Francisco guys again.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I like most about it. It's like you get to run into like all these people that, you know, you see at these different industry functions, you know, around the country.
Absolutely.
Different places around the world. You know, you visit their town, they visit yours.
This was great because, you know, Manhattan Cocktail Class, it was great to see everybody, but it was still in my backyard, you know. It's cool to meet them on a neutral ground. It's like we all had one big vacation together.
Totally.
And, you know, just like, it's just a lot of fun, and it's a lot of fun to learn and talk to other bartenders, not only from around the country now, but from around the world. And, you know, like, you can't get any better than that. It's like one big vacation with a bunch of bartenders, and all our common goal is just to learn from each other and drink and have a blast. Yeah.
I like seeing all the good side of everyone, but it was also very fun to see like the dark side come
out. Oh yeah. I think there's a list of like 25 friends who have lost their cell phones or wallets or credit cards or IDs, and
most of them accidentally, some of them on purpose.
Yep. We actually got stuck. It was Igor, Dev, and me. We were supposed to fly out, but there was bad weather in D.C., so we were probably going to miss our connecting flight. So, like, we said, fuck it, let's stay in New Orleans for another night. So,
oh, yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, so we went to go see Captain America at the movie theater, which was great. But, unfortunately, we weren't prepared for this movie theater where you pick your own seat, and then there's a maitre d' who sits you down in your big, comfy seat that's got cup holders and a little table. And they have a full menu. They've got a fucking chef. I've never seen this before. I was like blown away. So Igor orders a glass of Cote de Rhone with roasted artichokes and cheese plate. I ordered marinated olives and a Tanqueray martini with a twist. And Dev orders popcorn and Twizzlers with a Coke. All off the menu. It was all the menu. But the dynamic was hilarious.
That's amazing.
Nothing beats it's like drinking a gin martini, smelling the roasted artichokes and the Twizzlers together. So I had three gin martinis during the movie, so I don't remember the ending. But
well, that's
I'd say America wins, though.
Yeah, probably. But that's kind of like what happens with most stories at Tales of the Cocktail. We started out this way, and
I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you exactly how he became Captain America. Couldn't tell you what happened at the end. I don't even know if he beat the bad guy. Who knows? I don't even know. Somebody had to fill me in, send me a text or something. But, you know, overall, the award ceremony was great. We had a great time. Once again, we were honored. And it was just great to be in New Orleans, not only with all the bartenders and bar people from around New York City, not around the country, but the world.
Yeah.
And of course, to be there with my employees only. Friends and comrades and
absolutely
all our guys. You know, you don't get any better than that. And I can't wait till next year.
Yeah. Well, when we get back from the break, I want to talk about the rematch competition. And
yes.
Obviously, we'll talk a lot more about employees only in the and Tales of the Cocktail as we do Tales from Tales of the Cocktail.
Tales from Tales.
We are back. We've got Stephen Schneider from Employees Only, the best cocktail bar in the world from Tales of the Cocktail. Also, best drink selection and another number of nominations this year at Tales of the Cocktail's award ceremony. And before the break, we were talking about, obviously all the crazy crew heavy EO shenanigans that were going on down there. Starting stories and not knowing how to end them.
Yep.
Remember Captain America. We don't know what Captain America is going to do at the end. Right before the break, we were talking about rematch. Now, can you explain to our listeners what rematch is?
Well, this was my first rematch. It was started by Paul Mant from England.
Mm-hmm.
And Giuseppe Gonzalez is sort of getting involved with the United States side of it. They did this together. They put it together. They did a great job of finding a place. Cure, mm-hmm. The owner, Neil, I believe his name is. Neil. He was...
which was an amazing bar. It's
great,
huge.
Huge bar. Nice patio. Fit a lot of people in there.
Yeah. and there were... They packed it out that night.
So, basically, it's a speed speed competition with tiki drinks. So, mm-hmm. Two daiquiris, Cuba Libre, Pina Colada, Zombie, Caipirinha... mojito, Planet's Punch, Mai Tai, and opening a beer. Basically, the anti-competition competition. Speed competition. I mean, taste supposed to, like, you know, it takes about 20% of the points to go on taste.
Yeah.
Most of it, 65%, I believe, is on speed. And then there's, like, cleanliness and then just overall style points. Yeah. Which...
A lot of people had style.
We had style, I'll tell you that. But it came Sunday night after a long week of drinking, so a lot of people were tired. But overall, it was a great success. It was almost a great success as I finished in second place. Oh, it's okay.
It's a deep burn.
John LeMayer, Mr. John LeMayer, was the winner from the Florida Room in Miami, and he's got my $100 bill. So all the bartenders, they put in $100 bill, and then 25 bartenders, winner take all. So yeah. I was the first loser. Which tells you one thing. My drinks must have sucked really bad because I finished 40 seconds, I think, ahead of the winner. That's a lot of time.
40 seconds.
40 seconds, yeah. But I was talking to one of the judges, and I wasn't, you know, complaining, because I was having a great time. It was my first time competing.
Yeah.
You know, John's been in this business for a while. He's respected. He's done this before. So, I wasn't expecting to win by any means, you know. But, I asked him. I was like, my drinks really sucked, huh? He was like, yeah. I was like, hey, you know, I thought it was a speed competition. You know, I had most of my ingredients in there, you know. But, hey, what are you going to do? You know, I had a great time. I made my own song, which was pretty funny.
Oh, nice.
We basically had a Civil War drum marching, like super patriotic kind of thing. So I basically talked monotone, reading quotes from great American heroes, such as Gene Simmons, Dan Quayle, and Bo Jackson was amongst another one. And FDR, of course. But I also thanked everybody individually in my song, very boringly. I threw in a couple fuck yous, but it was out of love. The two fuck yous went to Jason Luttrell and Frank Cisneros, of course.
Of course.
So,
yeah. So. Did you feel like going to that competition? You know, the thing is, how many people actually use jiggers in that competition? I know Brian Miller did.
Brian Miller, I believe, was the only one. He made 10 perfect drinks and set the new world's record for slowest time in rematch.
How what was his time? It was like 8 minutes or something.
I would love. That's one of those things where then we all got drunk and forgot.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely had a sip of his Mai Tai, and I got to say, it was great. It was great. And I know. Also, like, it was basically like kind of a who's who of like the cocktail bartending world, and people were free pouring. Absolutely. And did you feel like you had you must have obviously had an advantage over everyone, since Employees Only famously does not use jiggers.
If you want to say that, maybe, but once again, it's my first time competing, and you know, in order to win, you know, you really got to know. It's hard to win anything on your first try, you know, you gotta you know, you got to be there before. So I learned a valuable lesson, and you know, I represented, you know, I represented my bar. I got on the bar, I stage dove as soon as I knew I nailed the round, like in a fast time. So I jumped out there. I took Paul's megaphone and was yelling all sorts of crazy stuff. And you know, that's what happens after a long week of drinking. You're just still drunk and you're having a blast, and you're shouting out some stuff. I jumped in the crowd. I almost landed on some poor girl. That would have been the best fail ever if I would have just missed everyone.
Huge buzzkill. Jumped over the entire crowd and landed on one single girl.
Fuck, man. Fuck, man. So that was Sunday night. So we'll go back.
Yeah, let's go back a little bit. What were some of the other events you really enjoyed?
Well, when we first got there, it was great. We went to the we stayed at the Bourbon Orleans, which is on Bourbon and, you know, fucking Orleans. Monteleone is where we went shortly after, which, you know, Tales is like the Star Trek convention.
Yeah.
Monteleone is like the bridge of the USS Enterprise. Yeah, the rooftop pool is like the carousel. So I know Brugal had a nice pool party to start.
There was a great Milagro party on Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
Was killer.
Tobinellis' Milagro party.
I don't know if I've ever had that much Fernet Branca ... out of a water gun.
Yep. And I happened to roll into the party. This was like maybe 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm still wearing my 3-piece suit from the awards ceremony on Saturday. So evidently I didn't make it home, but my shirt was missing somehow. And naturally Giuseppe Gonzalez just picks me up, takes my phone away, picks me up and throws me into the pool with my suit. And hey, you know, everybody started cheering. It was a great time. But
absolutely. Yeah. You were also in a game show.
Yes, I was. That's hilarious. I was in a Drambuie game show, which is like basically it was like a question, like a quiz show, and then some challenges. I was with Matthias Simonis from Milwaukee, Josh Harris from San Francisco, and a few other guys. We all were not really taking it that seriously.
Yeah,
we were already all fucked up, but I spoke the whole time. I went into the finals. I finished second place again in this fucking thing. Matthias beat me. Funny story. Well, Matthias beat me because we were going head-to-head at the end there in the final round. And he won because I drunkenly couldn't tell the difference between Cazadores tequila and Bombay Sapphire gin. You know what? I'll lose to that. I don't care. That was hilarious. But the whole time, I spoke like Sean Connery from Saturday Night Live. Yeah. I kept calling the host Trebek. I was like, that's the way your mother likes it, Trebek. I was like, and the answer is A. And your mother's a whore, Trebek.
Awesome.
So that's, and I don't think the host got the joke because I didn't even know the host. I didn't think he got it, but everyone else did, and that's all that matters. So speaking of Matthias, he's become a really good friend of mine. We were in the Don Q competition during the MCC together. Mm-hmm. We went to San Juan together. We got matching tattoos during the MCC. Of the outline of Oregon with the cocktail shaker in there, and Lush Life said that they're gonna fly us to Portland Cocktail Week for free if we got that done. And we're all fucked up, so we got it done. But this time around, he gives me a call. Sailor Jerry Rum,
right.
They were giving free tattoos over at Electric Ladyland up there, so we went ahead and picked up a little tattoo, another little Sailor Jerry style tattoo. So all my left leg is gonna be my. My designated free stupid tattoo leg. So.
there were other wasn't there was a chartreuse one too, if I remember correctly.
I did not partake in the chartreuse.
I know Nick Jarrett did.
Oh, did he? Well, that's the question to ask.
But, I know he got an anchor on his pinky, and then he got I didn't see him after that. I don't remember if he
cheers.
I don't remember if he actually. If I actually saw him after he got the chartreuse tattoo, I don't remember seeing him at Cure.
Funny, what do you call it? The fellows, speaking of Don Q, Esteban Ordonez is one of the most fun people to hang around with. He's always got great energy. We were up in the Don Q suite, just enjoying some Grand Añejo and making each other laugh, throwing beads down to the ladies, of course.
Well, of course.
I damn near got thrown out of the suite.
Gotta be a gentleman.
Yeah, I damn near got thrown out of the suite because evidently, with the beads, you know, evidently it's frowned upon if you make them do something with beads then throw a hot dog down instead.
Yeah,
evidently that's not the right thing to do.
That's not cool?
No.
Weird.
But basically my favorite,
I don't understand why.
My favorite thing was like every night, you know, Absinthe House, midnight, you know, you run into people that you know.
Yeah,
and the people that you see like all the time in New York.
That was like the second home base.
that was what's his name? Jean-Luc Picard's.
Yeah,
and the other one was William Shatner's headquarters. But Beefeater threw a great party the Wednesday night, the World War II party from William Grant, the World War II Museum. Mm-hmm. Man, out of this world, and it was great to see once again John Hogan. He's also from Bar Magic in Vegas. He owns a place called Level down in Annapolis, Maryland. But more importantly, he was one of my original mentors, and it's always fun to run into him. And he taught me a lot, and it's great to party with him. So
yeah,
we had just an overall blast, and I wish I could tell you some more stuff, but even I have my limits when it comes to stories. But I did learn a few things. I learned in Austria, people speak German. There's no such thing as Brazilian. It's they speak Portuguese in Brazil. So what else? There's no language in Switzerland called, you know, Swiss. They speak many different languages there.
Right.
So you know, I'm learning a lot of stuff that the education
a lot of
process
worldly things down in New Orleans.
That the education process has failed me. But overall, New Orleans was great to me. My first time there.
How many non-fried foods did you eat while you were there?
Damn near nothing, my friend.
Yeah, I don't remember anything green.
I love it. You know, that's right up my alley. And the whole "I don't give a fuck" attitude of New Orleans, it sort of fits in with my shtick, you know, with my personality.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to move down there, are you?
I could, but you know, I have priorities. You know, like I would be a fool. I would be such a fool to leave Employees Only. New York City is my home. You know, I can never leave here, but I could live in New Orleans. I like the whole, you know, they use cliche words like vibrant and all these other nonsense. But, you know, it's true. The place was amazing. The people were awesome. And from my understanding, that wasn't even the real New Orleans. It was just like the Disneyland.
Yeah. Because, you know, if you ever go there on the off season, if you go there for Halloween, you know, that's kind of like the locals' Mardi Gras.
And some assholes.
You really get to see.
Now that I think about it, some assholes, I know the pizzeria nearby, you could tell they raised their prices during Tales.
Totally.
$5 for a frozen slice of pizza. You could, like, it's like they put the thing on a little conveyor belt. It's like some sort of James Bond torture tool. And they put the frozen thing in and it comes out cooked. And you pay $5 for a slice there. And you could tell because it's like masking tape over the thing, over the price. $5 for a slice. I paid $20 for two slices of pizza and a fucking. Don't do that, people. Don't do that.
We're from New York. Don't
That's
fuck
right.
with us.
We know when we're getting fucked, all right? So.
Especially when it comes to pizza.
Yeah, damn it. We know pizza. We know when we're getting screwed.
One last question before we sign off.
Talk to me, man.
How many bottles of booze did you bring back on this trip?
The only thing that made it back was half a bottle of Don Julio Blanco.
Yeah?
Everything else was consumed.
every bottle I brought back was tiny, airplane size. I had so much stuff left over at the great Billy from Cure is where I stayed, and dude, that guy has like 100 bottles. It must be nice to like live in New Orleans and just like raid the swag room
Tilly,
and take all those bottles.
Tilly. I was just happy to come home with my wallet, with my phone, and with
your keys.
Yeah, with my keys and with a little bit of you know, pride and dignity,
and a great experience overall.
Yep,
absolutely. Steve, it is great to have you back on the show. And again, congratulations on Employees Only winning two awards: best drink selection and world's greatest cocktail bar.
Thanks, these guys did it. So thank you guys.
And Employees Only, absolutely. Congratulations to all of you. And I'll see you probably tomorrow night.
This is Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer. Removing barriers to better quality locally raised meats is one step further along the process. The Niche Meat Processor Assistance Network, or NMPAN, is connecting people across the country with information, tools, and each other. The organization is part of the Cooperative Extension Systems Extension, an internet-based collaborative learning service that consolidates the resources of the land-grant universities. The NMPAM affiliates are now available in almost 40 states and allow the co-coordinators to link people who need help with those who can offer it, such as extension staff members, state departments of agriculture, and markets with experience in small meat processing. They offer webinars, business plans, and hands-on help for processors or wannabe processors. More information is offered at their website, www.nichemeatprocessing.org. This has been Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer.
Finger on the Pulse and City Winery are proud to present the Summer Barbecue Blowout Festival, August 6th, from noon to 4 p.m. The barbecue is happening at City Winery, located at 155 Varick Street in New York City. Restaurants featured at this event are Empire Mayonnaise, Van Dag, Momofuku Milk Bar, Imperial No. 9, Mile End, Mexico, Kraft, Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola, The Meatball Shop, and Dos Toros. Providing the soundtrack for the day are Midnight Magic, Computer Magic, New Villager, Punches, Ducky, DJ Autobot, and the Snacky Tune DJ. VIP and general admission tickets are available at citywinery.com. Finger on the Pulse of City Winery would like to thank our sponsors: Heritage Foods USA, New York Magazine, Reka Vodka, Sonar, Smile, Guilt City, Sub-Zero, and Wolf. Please come out and join us for a day of fun, food, and dancing. For more information, go to www.heritagefoods.com. FOTPNYC.com.